Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
The idea of America's first settlement. In a time when people are doing more and more cultural tourism, they need to be reminded of our history, because they might come to our beaches, but they might come back to tour our history. So I think a second message ought to be about some amenity that we need to celebrate. And oh, by the way, people here need to be reminded that we are so historic.
I don't disagree in principle. It's just in practice that I disagree. That's Lois Benson, Emerald Coast Utilities Authority board member, talking last Tuesday at their Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, where they took input on the Blue Angels Water Tower, the cradle of naval aviation, currently on the north side with the Wings of Gold, and then on the south side, the one lone F-18 and the Blue Angels Classic, now defunct for many, many years, golf tournament on it. You remember when this all started? Okay, we saw the shroud up on the tower, and I had made some jokes about it online because it was funny looking, and you know, the monument to thimbles or sewing or whatever. And then I realized I ought to make a call and just be sure that they're repainting it the way that it was, because it's an iconic message and, you know, pretty near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, including my own. So I called over to ECUA and found out that the plan was to paint it with the ECUA logos. I'm like, oh, pardon my French, but hell no. No. I mean, that's all the other towers look like. It's like they're taking all the interesting stuff off and putting ECUA logos up. I thought, no. So we made a big stink about it on the radio and on Facebook, and eventually ECUA pretty quickly responded, like within a day. Oh, you know, which is good. Very responsive to citizens being frustrated. And they decided to take public input. They did. And in the course of taking that public input last week, and the reason I'm talking about this today is because there's a vote today. Also, I was out last week, so I couldn't cover it. But the vote today at their regular meeting at 3 o'clock, and they're going to decide what to do going forward, because there's a very narrow window with the contractor out doing the work right now, and they don't want to have to remobilize somebody, because then that's additional cost. But if we can get it in right now, we can make it be something different than just ECUA logos. And the good news is it's not going to be that. The challenge from my point of view is that now the board seems to think that it's just like their white canvas to figure out what to put up there. And look, I want to be encouraging. I don't like to scold anybody as much as I possibly can. But just put back what was there. Obviously on the south side, you need a Blue Angel or four. You know, the Delta is fine, or a single large one. I don't care. Either one is good. With Home of the Blue Angels, the Blue Angels are on board. They're willing to let us use their script. It'll look like a Blue Angels thing. Great. Wonderful. Home of the Blue Angels on the south side. On the north side, Wings of Gold and Cradle of Naval Aviation. If you want to put something on the east side facing to town, like on Cervantes, whatever you want. America's First Settlement, something like that. That's fine. But during this meeting, they just keep... Look, Dale Perkins and Vicki Campbell, I think, get it. Lois, I think, is willing to be persuaded. Larry Williams, he doesn't like the focus so much on Pensacola necessarily. He seems to think that we should, you know, that ECUA should be promoted. Why? You already got your name on every other tower in town. Stop it. Just put it back like it was. That's all you got to do. See, here's the problem. If they'd have said to the public back in, like, what was it, September or October, when this was first being decided, it was a while ago. If they'd have said, you know, hey, we're going to, we got this water tower that everybody loves. Let's see what we're going to put on it. Okay, great. Have some public commentary, take input, discuss, whatever. Could have done anything you wanted. But no, they didn't do that. And instead, they were just going to paint over it and put the ECUA logos up. And we caught them, and I don't mean to say it that way, but that's the truth, okay? We realized it and called them on it, and the public did too. And so now they want to come back and kind of be in creative control again. And I just think, look, you botched this bad at the beginning. You got your hand caught in the repaint jar. just, you won't offend anybody by restoring it to what it was. Blue Angel, home of the Blue Angels, cradle of naval aviation and the wings of gold. And then if you want to put something on the east side, put something on the east side, no problem. Welcome to Pensacola, America's first settlement, great. But nobody's going to be angry at you for keeping something that encourages people to think of Pensacola as the place where we stopped the Japanese. You know, the place where we stopped the Germans, the place where, I mean, less so, but still true. Okay, the place where we train all the Navy and Marine aviators. And they come retire here. The welcome mat to NAS Pensacola. I mean, there's nothing wrong with how it was. It was perfect. Don't mess it up. Now, I will be happy with anything that's not just ECUA logos. I'll be happier than that. But oh my goodness. Just, if you want to do a big tribute to Pensacola as America's first settlement, you have how many other water towers in town? Do that. You know, but don't take away a thing here because you think you got a better idea. Just put back what was there. I'll be honest with you. It is very inconvenient for me to attend this meeting today at 3 o'clock because I got to pick kids up from school. I am tempted to go and be a little bit scoldy, but I know they all listen. Or a lot of them listen to the show. So I think the message will get through, but seriously, if you want to do something, and by the way, they can't do the big complex artwork because of the nature of the water tower. It won't work. Okay. And time and money. Okay. That would be a project for another day on a different tower. 437-1620, got some text coming in here. Agreed. When the ECUA tower along I-10 west of Scenic is due for repainting, public kinship. I totally agree. Pass that tower, that one. If you want to redo that one, do it. And, I mean, think creatively about other ones, but think preserve the now, 20-year-old history or so of this one now. That's all I'm asking for. I know it's just a water tower. I know it's just an image, but sometimes images matter. Welcome mats matter, messages matter, and nobody's going to be angry if you just kind of restore it to what it was or very close to it. 817 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And to be honest, ECUA board members, if you're listening, you're welcome. Because if this thing had come back up with the shroud off with ECUA in it, people would have been. Right? I saved you from that, okay? I saved you from those pitchforks. So do me the return favor and let's just put it back how it was. Davis Allen now, traffic on the fives.
So I have a couple of accidents to report. Going northbound on Blue Angel Parkway, this is over in between Highway 98 or Lillian Highway and Kearney Road. There's an accident causing minor delays at the moment. Again, this is northbound in between Kearney Road and Lillian Highway along Blue Angel Parkway. I-10 going in the eastbound direction, we're seeing delays starting from Highway 29 on over back towards 9 Mile Road. Traffic moving a little slow over there. And also traveling along Garson Point Bridge, normal delays that we would see as you're going southbound. Right as you're getting onto the bridge southbound, you're going to be met with some immediate delays. Northbound moving at a rather consistent pace. Also seeing delays going southbound along Avalon Boulevard as you're going past Garson Point Road. It appears that's where it is starting to get delayed. Then clears up a little bit to go through the toll plaza, but get ready for delays once again. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
You know, when you're thinking about replacing the car that you've got right now, you got some options. You can go with a brand new car. Of course, then you pay for the showroom, you pay for the overhead, you pay for the depreciation that you take on your first mile out of the dealership, right? That obviously. Or you can go for, you know, something that's significantly, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and, you know, save some money, try to. Or you can do kind of what I recommend, what Dave Ramsey recommends, which is go to Frontier Motors. That's the sweet spot right in between where you get something that's not brand new, so you don't take that hit, but you also get something that's a year, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, so you know you can drive it for a long time and it won't, you know, give you trouble, right? And you can enjoy it because it'll be almost new, new to you, basically. That's what they specialize in. Every month they get new cars in. They sell about half their inventory every month, about 400 cars and trucks on the lot. They sell about 200 every single month, so there's always new stuff coming in, and if they don't have it, they can probably find it for you. So start there. Now, if you want to include a couple of different places on your list, no problem. Just be sure you include Frontier Motors on your list of places to go. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
In the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun.
823 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. We got late notice that Governor DeSantis is going to be in town here coming up in about, a little over a half an hour. So quick. I mean, I had got some inklings from some folks last night, but still, I wish I could go, but I cannot get there by 9 o'clock when the show ends at 8:59 and 30 seconds. So that's a no-go for me. Mark Jacobs is out all this week. Cooper Davis is in the newsroom, our afternoon news anchor and news director filling in for Mark. So capably, Coop.
Hey, Andrew, thank you. Donald Trump is slamming President Biden for waiting the longest of any new president to hold a press conference. Trump also criticizing the media. He says that he has watched some interviews involving the Biden administration and that most of the questions, quote, have been softballs.
It's a whole different set of questions. It's ridiculous, the questions that are asked. You know, what did you have for dinner? What kind of ice cream do you have?
The former president told Fox News today the press is protecting Biden and there is no actual free press. He says Biden will give his first press conference on Thursday.
Maybe if he can make it up the stairs, maybe. Go ahead.
Interesting talking point here, by the way. Andrew, how many question marks is too many question marks? A British university lecturer is going to receive a $20,000 payout for an unfair dismissal linked to his use of question marks. Dr. Binoy Sobnak was fired by Loughborough University last year after someone complained that he used too many question marks in his messages, creating an intimidating tone. So those, those messages included him asking things with 8 to 10 question marks regularly at the end. However, an employment tribunal found that the complaints were unproven and never fully investigated. So Sobnak is going to get $20,000 for a wrongful dismissal. But come on, man. You don't have to write 8 to 10 question marks. That's like, you know, don't be a D about it.
Yeah, but that doesn't intimidate. That just looks stupid. Well, the reason I laughed is because, you know, we started doing this thing, the Transgressors Memorial Service for all the things that get canceled.
Sure.
Oh, dude, we are definitely doing an in memoriam for question marks and texts coming up on Friday.
There you go.
We do that at, what was the time? 6:20 and 8:20?
Yes.
6:20 and 8:20 on Fridays? Yeah, so I'm laughing because I can add that to my list.
For each additional question mark, the question gets more, pretentious.
Yeah.
I think is what the meaning there is. Like,
yeah,
for each additional question mark.
There is a kind of a screaming quizzical look that goes behind the multiple question marks in a text.
The multiple question marks are like, are you stupid?
Right, exactly.
So,
But okay. I mean,
I think it's fair.
I'm intimidated by the question marks. Maybe you're in the wrong place to begin with.
Maybe. There you have it.
Coop, thanks so much for the update. Davis Allen now, traffic on the fives.
So taking a look at on Highway 20, or really on Highway, what am I saying? Avalon Boulevard. It's going to be southbound delays before you even get to Garcon Point Road. And it's going to continue that way till you get through the toll plaza. And then you're met with delays almost immediately after that, going southbound across Garcon Point Bridge. Now going northbound, also looking a little slow moving, but moving at a more consistent pace until you get through the toll plaza. And then the rest of the way to I-10 should flow smoothly. If you're traveling along I-10 going eastbound around the area of Pine Forest Road, it appears to be moving a little bit slower. We had an earlier accident, but it appears that accident has cleared up. But just use caution just as a caution there. Now also the front gate of NES Pensacola, good news to report, it is flowing smoothly once again. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
So what would you do with your very own plane? Like, I mean, I know it's a weird thing to think about, but when you got a car, do you remember how that changed your life? Remember how you could, you know, you could go anywhere, you could see anything, your scope of awareness and freedom just radically increased. Well, same thing, only now think, what if you had a plane? Now, I'm not saying you should buy a plane. I'm just saying my friends at Southeast Air Shuttle, Captain Eric, you know, he can give you that feeling because he has a plane. He will take you wherever you need to go. And so you can start to think about anywhere in the Southeast that you need to visit, whether it's for a weekend trip, a quick getaway, you want to go visit a business that you got to oversee or a couple in a day, and then you want to get back for dinner. I mean, he can make that happen. So start thinking to yourself, if I have my very own airplane or my very own airline, what would I do with it? And he can solve that question for you. That's exactly what he does for people just like you all the time. Southeast Air Shuttle, your no-line airline where you fly when you want, not when you're told. Find out more at flysoutheast.com. quick note in here about the Pensacola gun program, the gun buy program this last Saturday. We got clarification finally with pictures of the guns that really we kind of had to push and kick a little bit to get. But we did get them. And so basically here's what happened. You know the homemade gun that the one guy had to make on, and there was pictures of it on social media, the Boomstick 1776. That would have been eligible for purchase, but when he got in line, ran out before he could sell it. So that would have been, but wasn't actually bought. There were no pellet guns or air guns or anything like that bought. All the guns that were bought were at least supposed to be functional. But if you look at the pictures, they're pretty rough. And I think that the city overpaid for the vast majority of these. There might have been a couple of those that would be ordinarily functioning guns. But if you wanted to get, you know, guns off the street, probably not. If you wanted to get guns out of grandpa's closet or out from under the bed that haven't been seen in 20 years, well, those are the guns pretty much that you wind up buying. Coop, what do you got coming up, sir?
More spring break trouble in South Beach, and a woman is dead because of it. We'll have it.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Police in Boulder, Colorado have not named the suspect they have in custody or a possible motive for killing 10 people at a supermarket. This woman lives across the street.
I saw a man with a semi-automatic rifle shooting at people in the parking lot. I saw a dead body on the ground in the parking lot. I know he was dead because they took him away in a body bag a few minutes later when the police came.
One of the 10 people killed was the first police officer on scene, the father of 7 children. At least one resident is killed in a fire at an assisted living facility in Spring Valley, New York. Others are unaccounted for, and a firefighter is missing.
About 133 people live at that home, and Rockland County Fire Coordinator Chris Keir says most of them are accounted for, but the search continues.
This was a devastating loss. It was quite a chaotic scene when they first arrived here this morning.
Keir says the building is a total loss.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's our time for frivolous stuff. Not news, but just plain, you know, fun questions, things you can talk about with your kids, your coworkers, your spouse, your friends, argue with over a beer, that kind of stuff. That's what we like to do. Just something different other than all the news of the day. Although today is kind of a good news day. I'm going to stop doing my daily COVID updates after over a year doing them just because the numbers are so good. All the information's on our Facebook page if you want to read it. All right, Davis, this actually came up the other day with you and me a little bit, sort of sideways, because we were talking about how you will complain about watching a 2-hour movie, but you will binge 10, 50-minute episodes in a row, no problem. I mean, maybe not exactly that, but right? Like,
right, yeah.
That's the mindset. Same thing, same experience. I understand that. But it leads me to a question about episodic shows, not movies, but episodic shows. Is it better, 437-1620, 437-1620, which is better? The show that comes out like Netflix style or, you know, Disney Plus style. Well, like Disney Plus actually one at a time now. But a show that comes out all in a big dump so you can watch them all on your timetable. Or a show that comes out once a week. And so you got to watch it for 10 or 12 or 15 weeks or 24 weeks or whatever. 437-1620. Which would you rather watch? The show that you got to wait a week in between every episode? Or would you rather have it all at once to watch as much as you want, whole hog, if you want to do it that way? 437-1620, binge or overtime? 437-1620, Davis?
For me, some of my favorite shows of all time are all on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So that means they all come out at once, and I enjoy watching them all at once because you can watch them on your own time. Mm-hmm. The negative with that is, if you finish it within a day or two, then you're left with nothing more to look forward to from that particular show. I guess if you go week by week, you have three lobsters,
and now you got no lobster left to eat for a month.
Exactly. But would you want to eat more lobster after that?
Right.
No, I don't. So for me, though, I love having them all at once. You can just go one after another after mm-hmm. another if you want. It's just how I like doing that.
I am very much the same way. And if I'm given my option, and sometimes you are and sometimes you're not, I like the many all at once because then I'm in control. And if I want to go and watch two or three at a time, I can. And if I want to put it down for a while, then I can. And if I'll tell you the problem I have, this is I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's just attracting too many plot lines in my life kind of thing. A week is just about enough time to forget everything for me. Like, I remember the characters, but where are we exactly? And, you know, it's nice because I'm watching with my wife, but I'll ask her and she'll ask me. And we have this kind of, you know, what's going on here? And we talk about it. When you watch stuff back to back or even over the course of a couple of days, you don't have that problem. The memory fall off doesn't take place. Now, the extra worst part of it all, I know that's a terrible grammar, but the worst part of it all is when you get to the end of the season and then you got like 3 months before we come back to this. Mm. Oh, I hate that. And I will say, if there's any advantage to watching them over time, it's that the gap between the end of this season and the beginning of next season is only 3 or 4 months, as opposed to, like, if you binge them all in January and then you got to wait for August for the next dump. Mm. Oh, who's going to remember anything that happened between now and then? 437-1620. Somebody here says, all at once so I can keep up. Amen. I like that. Although I will say, there's a weird problem. When you watch something every week, I feel the need, if it's a current events type show, I mean, if it's like This Is Us is one we watch, and I feel like we have to watch it every time, because otherwise somebody's going to break some news on social media and it's going to irritate me. So you have to keep up. The problem with the big binge dump is you got somebody's going to watch it the first 10 hours, the 10 hours available, and then that stuff gets shared with you. And that's not good. I don't like that people can, you know, ruin it for you because they happen to have an extra 12 hours because they don't have kids or a job, obviously. 437-1620. Somebody here says once a week with Yellowstone being the best. All right. Fair enough. I feel like the once a week is like, what's the word I want? I'm rationing myself.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's good to have it rationed a little bit.
That's how I see why
I
people
hate it,
would
but I'm glad
that.
Somebody did it to me is a little bit kind of how I feel.
But if there's also like a really good cliffhanger and now you have to wait a week.
Oh, hate that. Hate it.
I know, but sometimes it keeps you thinking about it all throughout the week and then you can't wait.
I got no brain space for that. I the cliffhanger hits, then I got to go about my business, and then a week later, oh yeah, cliffhanger. That's kind of how I go. Weekly because the next week they always do reruns from the last one. So okay. No, I do. I love the here's what happened last week. Oh, so appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that. 437-1620. Somebody here says the weekly episode clip is more conducive to social sharing. The so-called water cooler talk. No, agree about that. Drama, thriller, anything. You can only take so much comedy. No, there's truth to that too. You got to kind of like, you can overwatch a comedy and you get 3 hours into comedies and you're like, all tastes like comedy. You know, I agree with that. Somebody here says 437-1620, binge, and when it has a big gap till the next season, you get to binge the first season again before. Now that's real commitment. I've never done that. I have rarely gone back and watched something again, especially between seasons. That would have been like Game of Thrones or Walking Dead for me would be shows that I might have done that, but I have never. I've gone back and watched all of Game of Thrones again after it was all over, but not through the course of events like that. I will say, one thing I do, and I don't know what this means as far as which answer is right, but I prefer to save up shows on my DVR so that I can then be in control of watching them all at once if I want to. I mean, I know that puts me behind the information curve, but if I've got 5 or 6 all in a row, I will watch, you know, on a Saturday morning a couple and the Sunday morning a couple, like SEAL Team or something like that. I like that because I don't have to wait for it. But, of course, you're vulnerable to see people breaking the news.
And you do get to fast forward through the commercials if you so want to.
Oh, who watches just plain live TV? Come on now. Nobody watches just plain live TV, right?
I think I'm speaking on behalf of my fiance when I say that. She prefers to have the Netflix dump because if she has to wait week by week, she likes spoilers. So she will go.
Oh, so she likes to know what's going to happen?
Yes. So
my wife's the same way.
The Bachelor is the perfect example. There's this apparently there's this social media guy called Reality Steve who somehow knows everything that's going to happen. So she knew the end of The Bachelor before the first episode.
What's the point of watching a drama where you know where the drama goes? My wife's the same way though. Some shows we kind of have to watch on time because otherwise she'll look and I'm like, dude,
like stop spoiling it.
All right, that's our frivolous topic for the day. Davis Allen, traffic on the fives.
Yeah, Garcon Point Bridge going southbound. Delayed, very delayed. In fact, before you even get to the toll plaza, we are seeing these delays around the area of Garcon Point Road. A little slow moving, and then you're met with these heavier delays as you're approaching the toll plaza. So expect about a 30-minute delay there. Going northbound, once you get off the hump, you're going to be met with some minor delays until you get through the toll plaza. Then it clears up all the way to I-10. Avalon Boulevard far going towards I-10, by the way, is flowing smoothly. And all other accidents that we had in the area, including on I-10 or on Blue Angel Parkway, have all cleared up. Those areas are flowing smoothly once again. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, Christine Leavenworth sells homes fast, good prices. I mean, you get it, right? When you sell 130 homes in a year, 3 years into the business, I don't have to persuade you she knows what she's doing. But it's more than just the track record, right? It's what will she promise you? Well, here's kind of a new thing. And this is, I mean, this is kind of wild. I'd never heard of this happening before. But previously, she'd always said, you know, we'll sell within a month. You know, we can do that for a lot of homes. Now, 2 weeks. Here's the deal. If your home qualifies, not every home does, but if your home qualifies, and then you agree about a price, because obviously you got to agree about the price, okay? She says, I will sell that home within 2 weeks, or I'll pay you $5,000. I'll write you a check for $5,000. I mean, that's confidence in where the market is and what her team can do. And I'm just telling you, I mean, she wouldn't make that promise except that she can sell the home, okay? And typically multiple offers, typically above list price, not always, but typically, and certainly at list, you know, that's something that they can make happen. So if you're thinking about selling a home, give her a call. Find out what she and her team at Levin Reinke can do for you. 723-9158, 723-9158.
It begins with the construction of a dedicated four-lane bridge over Mobile River for large trucks only. All large trucks over 46 feet in length would be prohibited from using the Wallace Tunnel. So many of the traffic delays and tie-ups we experience today are because of large truck traffic in the tunnel. Under this plan, big trucks will be prohibited from using the Wallace Tunnel and will instead use the Mobile River Truck Bridge.
So you remember a couple years ago when the big genius plan from the folks at LDOT, Alabama Department of Transportation, and Mobile was that they were going to build a $2 billion bridge. They were going to build one portion that was going to go up and over the river in Mobile, and then they were going to build another portion that was going to wind up basically being a replacement for the current bayway, the I-10 connection between Spanish Fort and Mobile, right? And it was going to be $2 billion. They had managed to hook into about $125 million from the feds, and the rest of the $2 billion project was going to be $5 or $6 each way as a toll. Remember this? And we pushed back real hard. I don't know why anybody else here locally didn't, but we did. Then over on their side, a lot of people pushed back, and there was a lot of conversation. And they basically got their hand caught red-handed in the terrible idea jar. And they all got burned on it, and they went, okay, fine. So they killed that notion. Well, now they've come back with another one. And I got to be honest, they clearly learned the lesson, because the primary message again and again and again yesterday in the announcement was, no tolls for cars and regular trucks. No tolls for cars and regular trucks, which is good. That was the whole point. Now, this voice was Vince Calametti in this press conference that had the chairman or the president of city council of Fairhope, and then also the mayor, Sandy Stimson, from Mobile, and the congressman, who didn't say anything all that interesting, so I'm not playing his clip. But here's what they're going to do. Here's what they want to do. Okay, they got $125 million from the feds, million that they don't want to lose, they want $250 million from LDOT, and then they got to figure out all the rest of the money, which they figure it's about a $725 million project. Here's what they want to do: they want to build a truck only bridge where they were going to build that over the river bridge before, and that's going to be trucks only, no trucks in the Wallace Tunnel. Smart, it's good. So far, so good. That's good. Then they want to put trucks back onto the existing bayway, the I-10, okay, span, and they want to take that span as it currently exists, and they want to restripe it for three lanes. So they want to have two lanes as car lanes, car and small truck lanes, and they want to have a third lane. I assume it's going to be a divided, you know, with like the little pylon-y markers or something like that, and that's going to be trucks only. So bridge over the river for trucks only, dedicated lane for trucks only on the I-10 Bayway, and then the other two lanes are going to be for cars. So they're going to squish three lanes of traffic, including a dedicated truck lane, onto what is now two lanes plus two shoulders. You follow? That's the plan. And they're going to pay for it by tolling the trucks. The trucks are going to pay $10 to maybe $15 at most per 46-foot and longer truck to use this whole contraption. And then down the road, they'll figure out what to do about replacing the spans, because that's going to be a challenge. I'm favorable to the idea. I don't understand. If this was possible, if they could have put three lanes each way onto the Bayway, why didn't they do it previously? It's kind of my question. Like, that would have been an easy solution a long time ago. So I'm not sure why now. Or also, look, we've all driven in these constrained lane environments. Like, you know, the Pensacola or the Escambia Bay Bridge, Pensacola Bay Bridge, sorry, the Three Mile Bridge. It's kind of been like that when it was first built, right? It felt a little bit constrained. Is that safe? Are there going to be more accidents? These are all questions. It's early in the process, but at least they're not putting a toll on cars and regular trucks. That's the key. Davis Allen, time now for traffic on the fives.
And taking a look at the roadways right now, not seeing any delays along Avalon Boulevard until you get to around the area near the Toll Plaza southbound. Northbound checking in clear after you get through the Toll Plaza. With that being said, Garcon Point Bridge is delayed southbound. And northbound, not going to see delays until you get kind of close to the Avalon side. You'll be off the hump. Will you be out of these delays? It'll only take a couple of extra minutes. Just traffic moving a little slower. If you notice anything else out on the roadways, feel free to call us at 262-6111. And this report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Over 40 years of service. Big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
AM 857 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Future news time for Davis Allen and Andrew McKay to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Well, we were just talking about it, so let's start there. The bridge proposed Alabama to, Alabama, really. But the bridge across the bay. Is it going to basically be this plan? Is this going to work?
Yes.
I am also a cautious yes on this, and certainly better than the other plan. I think this is probably where they're going to wind up going with it. AstraZeneca going to get the EUA in the United States with now another dose of kind of questions about some of the data?
Not right now, no.
I actually still think it will, although it would be an interesting move by the FDA to turn it down and then to kind of prove to people, hey, we can turn down ones. You know, we've got three good ones right now. The EUA water tank. We've been talking about this a lot. I'm fairly attached to this issue. What is EUA going to do today? Will they go with what I say is the right way to go? The wings of gold and the cradle of naval aviation on the north side, home of the Blue Angels and a Blue Angel on the south side, and something whatever on the east side. Will they do that, or will they try to go historic note of some kind and get rid of the wing? Will the wings of gold and the cradle of naval aviation be preserved?
I don't think so. I think they'll go somewhere Blue Angels wise. It'll just be a fresh painting.
Okay, so I'm going to be happy with anything that happens if it's not ECUA logos around, but I really hope they get the point and just preserve what was there. If they want to add something on the east side, then that's fine. I really don't think they're going to, but I hope that's what they do. I hate to say it that way. Mask mandate Thursday. City council going to lift it with low hospitalizations?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Will I have to return to doing daily updates? Today is my last one for daily. I'll still track the data and do weeklies, but am I going to have to go back to doing dailies?
No.
No, I think we're in good shape. Bright Futures, is that deal dead? Is that bill going to make, is that in its now third revision, is it going to survive in some form?
I don't think so.
No. He keeps changing it and changing. He's going to have to get rid of the funding thing. It's the only thing that's really left in it right now. I think Bax is going to have to abandon it. Plus, it's not going to get taken up in the House. So this was a big misfire all around for him. And the Boston Marathon bomber, Supreme Court's going to take up the question of whether his death sentence is allowed or not. Will they say yes? Will he wind up being executed?
Yes to both questions.
I say yes and yes as well. Mike's up next with the Garden Line. We'll see you tomorrow.